Maureen, I apologize to everyone. I want to apologize to you again. Sorry about last week.
It's easily done.
I think Maureen said, I mean, at the very latest, it'll be 5 a.m. for Alison. And I was like, oh, Alison's not coming. She's not coming. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Well, we just want to say we're back, patrons. We're back, and we're so excited to have you back with us. A quick shout out. Thank you, Hazel, for joining us. We're so excited to have you be a part of the WTB team.
And if you are interested in joining the WTB train, you can join us at patreon.com/WTB podcast to get all of your Patreon extras.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you know what? I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for this jelly, but today I am. And actually, if we'd have done it last week or whenever it was that we were going to do it, the timing was wrong. But today, I feel like the moons have aligned, the stars have ascended, the sky has lifted, the clouds have parted, and here WTB has returned, and we are all at peak. Actually, I've got a cold. Has anyone else got a cold?
Yeah, I feel like I'm coming down with the cold.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to edit that first bit out. Never mind.
So what time is it over there, Alison, now?
Right now, I'm at 5:41 a.m., everyone.
This is absolutely the worst possible time to be doing a podcast because you are not even awake. But you look amazing, Alison. This is the thing. Maureen and I have been awake for hours because it's 20 to 20, quarter to one in the afternoon as we record this. And I look like death. Maureen, I mean, you don't look like death, but...
No, thank you.
You haven't... Put your makeup. You haven't got your lippy on like you normally.
I've got a lippy on. I've got pink lipstick on.
A lighter lippy. Yeah.
Oh, not too close to the screen. Thank you. But Alison, you're glowing, and you've got some sort of a sheer gloss on or something.
Yeah, it's Carmex because it's so dry here that my lip will crack if I do the podcast without this on my lips.
Oh, yeah. Really?
You've got a gloss in your hair, which is insane.
Jules has a gloss in her hair.
Thanks, guys. I got it done yesterday. This is what yesterday's hair looks like. Hey.
Oh, you got a haircut?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can tell. It looks really good. And there's a bounce to it and a little bit of zhuzhuzhuz and a bit of zhazhazhaz and
So what are you doing in Canada apart from getting your haircut? Because it seems a long way to go for the hairdressers.
Yeah, it is. I have been spending time with my parents. That has been the main journey out here. My mom was supposed to be, this is very exciting podcast talk. My mom was supposed to be getting a hip replacement right now, but it's not going to happen until the end of October. So this is just a visit. We're just doing a visit.
Are you doing stand-up while you're over there or is it just a visit?
I did a total of 4 gigs, which was great. Last weekend I was at the Yuck Yucks in Calgary, headlined that. Danny did a middle spot. I get so excited when Danny does spots out here. Yeah.
Did he enjoy it?
Loves it. He loves doing it here because now he's learned like the lingo, you know what I mean? Like certain words to put in. And so it was just so fun to see. He had such a good time. My parents came. They never come to watch comedy. So I think this is the first time my dad's come in like 9 years.
He's wow.
Like, oh, I want to come. I was like, oh, he's coming for Danny. This isn't for me. Like, he's coming for Danny. So it was cute.
Did they enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they understood most of it, but I mean, they sat there and they smiled. They got free wine and wings. They were happy.
Perfect. What more can you want?
Free wine and wings. I'll come to Calgary for that.
And I gave them a lot of attention from stage. You know, they like that sort of.
Oh, yeah, they like that thing.
There they are. These are my parents. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So they had a good time.
They had a good time, yeah.
It's weird having your parents in watching stand-up, isn't it? It's like...
It's so... Because it just makes it like... You're just so nervous.
My dad has never seen me do stand-up.
Is it the cursing? Is it the content?
Obviously, I don't swear, Alison, as you know.
Yeah,
I never swear. And obviously, I've never had sex because I've never been married. I mean, that is more or less true. But I mean, you know, I would just get my dad, who calls me Mavis for reasons we won't go into, just this gruff Scotsman going, Mavis! You know, and nobody would know what was going on. This mad Scotsman just shouting at somebody. So I, no.
Would he be shouting while you were on stage, though?
Oh, possibly.
Possibly. Okay.
I mean, you know, my I took my dad to this. They've got like a food market outside King's Cross. There's a Scottish kitchen there. So I took him there because I thought we'd get some Scottish food. And all he did in front of the woman who was standing opposite us just go, £3.50 for a bridie. That's too expensive. £3.50 for a Scottish pie. And just kept going on about how expensive the food was in front of the woman. So, yeah, my dad doesn't really do tact.
No. Yeah, I think there's something about shouting out from the audience, though, that I always think, wow, that's quite a brave thing to do because suddenly all the attention is on you. I imagine your dad might not enjoy that, but he might. I don't know.
I don't think he would think it through.
No, there's that, isn't it? There's always that. I mean, I know you well enough to know that that could well be the case. My mum used to love watching me do stand-up. She absolutely loved it. It was a real treat for her.
Yeah, she was very proud.
A lot of it was about her, though, so she was probably like, mm-hmm.
Oh, that stuff, she would be like, her eyes would be rolling into the back of her head. But yeah, she did. She really enjoyed it. She always thought, oh, Yennefer, you're so funny. You're so, so funny. You made me laugh. And I was like, I know, Mum, I am really funny. And that would be one of the few things we agreed on, actually, was how funny I am.
Whereas my parents are like, comedy's just not really our thing. It's not really what we do. I was like, right, enjoyment, just not your... That's cool. Also, they had COVID.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
I arrived, and the first day I arrived, boom, COVID. I was like, we should test, guys, because they're like, the smoke in the air. There is no smoke anywhere in this air. I was like, grr. Yeah, so that was fun, too. I literally arrived and then walked out the door again. Hey, guy. Okay, I'll see you in 5 days.
Is that ironic? Because you are, out of the three of us, you're the most, like, cautious.
Yeah.
Me and Jen and I, whatever. But you are the most cautious out of the three of us. That is typical. Alison, Jen and I started supporting Jen on her tour around the UK.
I want to hear all about this. Tell me about the adventures that have happened so far. Jen, you've been loving your shows.
It's gone really well. We got into the train and I got out a salad with lots of mayonnaise in it.
What do you call it? It's a salad, Maureen. What do you call it?
Salad with mayonnaise. Anyway, Jen just went, huh. See how long it takes you before that goes down your dress. Anyway, I opened it up, and for some reason, I don't know how, the mayonnaise did jump out, but onto Jen's face, not mine.
No. So,
hit me in the eye.
Hit her in the eye.
She
the
opened up.
Like, I'll show honestly, you.
Honestly, you couldn't have timed it better. I was like, oh, let's see how long that takes to. Oh, right in my face.
I found it funny. The guy next to Jen found it funny. Jen, not so much.
I found it funny afterwards. No, I didn't, actually. At no point did I find it funny. I was like, oh, this is absolutely bloody typical. Also, because when you sit opposite Maureen when she's eating, you have to expect a certain amount of whatever's in her mouth to fly into your face.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And I thought, okay, I'm prepared for that. You know, so yep. I was building up a screen of things I can put in front of me so that, you know, I had a book. I was like, oh, I'm going to put my like a jumper on top. But I was not prepared for the spray of mayonnaise that came from Maureen's. And I say salad in inverted commas, as you can well imagine. It was literally just, what was it, Maureen?
Pasta and mayonnaise and chicken.
Maureen said, you'll be pleased to know. This is Maureen always does this when she's... she thinks she's onto something good. Jen, you'll be pleased to know I got myself a salad. Anyway, this like literal tub of mayonnaise appears. I was like, okay, Maureen.
Then we also got invited out to a Michelin star restaurant, which obviously I hated.
I don't think it was Michelin star.
No, it was Michelin star. I saw it as I came in. So I knew it wasn't going to be good. And I looked at the menu and there was like nothing normal on the whole menu. So I had to get a side dish of boiled potatoes.
There was fish. There was potatoes, there was lamb chops, there was a cut of beef. There was lots of food in there that Maureen was like,
couldn't get her head around. When I, because there wasn't a chick in Kiev, Maureen just shut down. Anyway, it was what can only be described as a really lovely restaurant with things called flavour. They had basically all kinds of food that any normal person would find interesting. It's a really expensive place to eat. Mm. They had beautiful cocktails. They had lovely wine. Maureen was just like, I'm not eating this. This is no good. So in the end, we were like, okay, Maureen, we'll go somewhere that you want to go. That's fine. Because like, I can't be eating with Maureen when she's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
It ruins my meal. So Maureen said, no, no, no. I'll stay and not enjoy my food next to you.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't say that, but you did that. So in future, what's going to happen is I'm going out for lunch with Sam and Maureen will go to a greasy spoon and we'll reconvene later. I'm going to eat a beautiful mission cooked by a fantastic chef with all different flavours and lovely food. Alison, I think you would have loved it, in fairness.
I would have loved it.
Yeah, you would have loved it, Alison.
I think most people that like food would have loved it. But Maureen's got three flavours. It's sugar, fat, salt.
Yeah.
Carbohydrates.
Carbs, yeah.
To be fair, there was plenty of carbohydrates available in this restaurant. It wasn't like a protein-based restaurant. Anyway, you liked the potatoes, didn't you, Maureen?
I did like the potatoes were lovely.
So we spent like maybe 50 quid on Maureen's meal, but she enjoyed the potatoes.
To that Michelin star chef out there, she really liked the potatoes.
The potatoes were really nice. Boiled potatoes were lovely.
And I think you enjoyed your cocktail, in fairness.
Yeah, I did enjoy the cocktail.
What did you get? Was it not a pina colada?
It was like a coconut.
It was a daiquiri, wasn't it?
So a version of a pina colada.
Well, it was very white.
Yes, actually, it was white.
It did look like milk, but it did have alcohol in it.
Oh, God, boring.
Hey, and also we went swimming.
What?
There was a hotel and there was a spa and we went swimming.
I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud. A, you were in a hotel with a spa. I'm so glad you went swimming. I was going to say, which beach did you go to? But you don't swim in poo right now, so that's great.
No.
So we go to a spa, but Maureen doesn't do anything in the spa. She just, so no sauna, no steam room, but you did go for a swim.
I went to the jacuzzi.
And you went to the jacuzzi, yeah.
See, now that's weird to me that you'll do a jacuzzi, but you're not into like a sauna or a steam room kind of thing.
Yeah, they're hot.
Yeah.
So is a jacuzzi.
Yeah, but it's different. No, jacuzzi's nice. I did go into the steam room for a bit, which I don't really see the point of them. And then Jen wanted to go into the sauna. It was full of blokes and she kept waiting for them to leave and they never left. So in the end, she had to go in there with a sauna full of blokes.
Yeah.
Blokes never leave the sauna. They take it over. Whenever I go anywhere, there's always like five guys crammed in a sauna and they sit there for hours. And I'm like, come on, gentlemen.
There were these two guys and they were having a competition about who could stay in the sauna longest. So, you know, those like they're really buff. They've got tattoos, but only on their legs. And you know the guys I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I do.
And they've got exactly the same haircut. They wear exactly the same clothes. They're living exactly the same parallel existences. Anyway, they're in the sauna. And I know that they're in the middle of this competition because one of them looks like he's about to faint. And he's kept slapping himself so that he could stay awake in this sauna. And the other guy was like just looking down. That's all he would do. Every now and again, he had some water with him. He'd take a sip and he'd look down as if to go, I will be the last person. They'd been in this sauna for about 40 minutes, which I'm pretty sure is not good. So I was like thinking they've got to come out eventually. Anyway, I go in, I'm in for about an additional, say, 10 minutes, and I'm already feeling like, ooh, this is a bit much. I don't know how they've stayed in that long without passing out. One of them just goes, ugh, and staggers out, nearly falls over because he's so lightheaded. And then the other guy's like, oh, I'm the winner. And then he goes out and they're like high-fiving each other outside the sauna. And I thought, this is a testament, isn't it, to testosterone, that a sauna, which is a place where you go to relax, be in your own thoughts, becomes like this machismo competition about who can stay in long. I thought, I hope one of you just literally passes out and then I can step over you on my way out and just go, you pair of morons. But sadly, they managed to make it out. They survived, sadly. Yeah,
they survived.
Hey, also, I was in Scandinavia, Alison, for a couple of days.
Gigging, or did you go on a holiday?
Gigging, and I was staying in a 4-star hotel, which was so posh. I couldn't switch the lights off in the room. There wasn't a switch. There was some kind of, I don't know, you need a degree in engineering to understand it. So at about 2 a.m, I got fed up because I couldn't get the light off that was above my bed. I had to go down to the lobby in my nightie because by this point I couldn't give a shit. And I said, I can't get my lights off. And they went, we've had a lot of problems about this. We have people who can't switch the lights off. And it's like the biggest hotel. They built this through Scandinavia. It's their biggest one. And apparently they now have to get somebody to come in and do different lighting.
That is brilliant. So Roy said, oh, I had to go down and get this guy to do my lights. Firstly, I was like, why didn't you phone? She was like, I was too cross. So I
stormed downstairs in my nightie.
Went down, yeah.
But the classic was that the guy was like, oh, yeah, just join the queue. I mean, like this, everyone has come down. Because nobody at night were trying to go to sleep. Nobody knew how to turn the lights off.
Because like you'd switch off some, but then some would stay on. And then you try and switch those off. And then the all lights would go back on again. Yeah. So this young guy came into my room and he went, oh, let's hope I can remember how to do this. Because when I first started, I couldn't switch them off either. And I was like,
I know.
I mean, some designer must have thought this is a great idea. It's like, no, all we want is a switch, mate. Just a switch.
I mean, it's something about Scandinavian hotels. I mean, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. In Malmo, when I was in Sweden, I told Maureen this and she laughed her head off. I was like basically trying to get out of my hotel room and I couldn't get out. And I was like, so I thought, why have they locked it? This is insane. So I'm like pushing the door going, why isn't it? And I had the key and I was like, well, it's not opening. I phoned down. I was like, well, your doors, they don't work properly. And I'm stuck in my room and I've got to get out. And he was like, okay, there should be nothing wrong with the doors. They shouldn't lock from the inside. You should be able to get out. I was like, well, I can't get out. And he said, okay, have you tried pulling the door? And I went, have I tried pulling the... Okay, I'm out now. Thank you very much. Anyway, I've been
pushing... But you know
pushing...
I was thinking of you when I was there because the doors in hotels in Scandinavia tend to open out into the corridor, which is the opposite of what they do in Britain. So actually, I can understand why you did that because they open the other way from our door.
Yeah, I think it was I was pulling the door and I was supposed to push the door.
Push
anyway,
it.
Whatever it was, that was it. So I couldn't, because the door opened out and I had been pulling it to go. Yeah, and he was like, oh, try and push in the door. Anyway, as I got out, it was like, oh, that was one of the more humiliating experiences.
That was a Be More Maureen moment is what that was, Jen. You had your own.
Yeah, it was my own Be More Maureen moment. And actually another Be More Maureen moment telling it by getting it completely wrong. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're back and we'll be with you until Crimble time.
Yay!
That's Christmas, actually. But now we've missed it. We haven't had enough of it and we want more of it. Could we please find out, Warren Younger, what your Be More Maureen moment is?
I'd managed to block myself as a spam sender. I chose my own number and my own contact to block.
Oh my God, Maureen, I don't understand. I mean, I understand, but I don't understand. I've got to shut this down now. I've got to shut it down.
Well, it's not the one which I was going to include Jen in this Be More Maureen story, but a Be More Maureen story happened last night.
Because
we had book club last night and I completely forgot about it, even though I'm the one who organises it.
So. Oh, my God, that's spectacular.
I completely forgot about it.
Oh, so, Maureen. So what happened?
In my defence, as always, I had to go to hospital. I had an hospital appointment and because I'm trying to walk every day, at least 20 minutes. So instead of getting the second bus, I walked from the first bus to the hospital, which obviously knackered me out. I came back home and I'm going to have a little sleep. Obviously collapsed. And then I woke up about 7, book club was at 7:30. I was lounging in bed. And then luckily Sharon happened to message me and go, what's happening at book club? I can't see the link. I was like, oh shit. Because I hadn't even set up a Zoom. So I got on the thing. And also there was loads of comments on the book club thing going, can you see the link? I'm thinking, no, because I haven't actually created it yet. And so book club started 10 minutes later than usual because I completely forgot that it was happening.
That's okay. That's okay, Maureen. I think that's perfectly understandable.
Yep.
Actually, on this occasion, even though you organise book club and you've been advertising book club on Instagram and Twitter sort of relentlessly, on this occasion, I think I'm going to let you off because that's happened to all of us.
Yep.
And it's okay. I have, a gig tonight and I'd already told Chloe that I could do all of these things. Yes, I can pick up the kids. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I'll be in tonight, even though I've got a gig tonight. And I just literally just told her, yes, of course I can do all those things, even though I've looked at my diary and I can't do those things. And it's only registered with me, like, just before we started recording this. I was like, oh, I can't do any of those things because I'm working tonight, you absolute penis. Anyway, So we've all been there.
We had a very good book club. And just to say, the book for this month is Affinity by Sarah Walter. I've never read anything by Sarah
Walter. Yeah, I've read it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good, but it's not my favourite of her books, but it is worth reading.
It was one of the shorter ones. That was one of the reasons why we opted for it. But everybody loved The Constant Rabbit. So if you want a good book to read, I totally suggest.
I'm reading it right now.
Are you? What do you think?
I haven't really started it, so.
Oh, okay.
But I've got it.
You've got it. Okay.
Well, I've ordered it.
Well, that's a start.
So what, me saying I'm reading it is an absolute lie. But you told me to buy it, so I did. And I trust your judgment.
I think you'll really like it.
Maureen, that was not the Be More Maureen I was expecting. The Be More Maureen that I was expecting is quite something.
Yeah, that'd be next week.
I thought we were going to open with a bang, but we're going to open with a smaller bang and enter into a secondary bang next week.
Next week will be a great one. And you'll appreciate it, Alison. As a comic, you'll appreciate it.
Well, I'm dead excited because I think it's very interesting. We've started this season with the first Be More Maureen and Jen going, no, I'll give you that one. That is not that's not how we've started.
No.
It's a whole new season, gang.
It's exactly. Who are we? I'm slightly wrong-footed by that particular Be More Maureen, and I was expecting a different one. And I was really ready to sort of delve deep into that one, yes, because that one is one of the finest Be More Maureens. Anyway, let us move on. Thank you very much, Maureen Younger, for your Be More Maureen moment. It's time now for some common sense, for heaven's sake, which we've all desperately needed up until this point. It's been missing. Let us go to Alison June Smith, because finally it's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No.
Take my advice, I ain't using it. Hey. Okay, well, look, I feel like I may have touched base on this, but somebody sent me this specifically. So I'm like, we're going to get right back into this. So somebody wrote in, how do I find a new hobby? And I was like, oh, isn't that interesting? Hobbies. And I, being with my parents for the last little portion of time, can I say hobbies are very important to keep the gray matter working, everyone. So I was like, yep, I'm going to dive into hobbies again because I think it's a very, very important thing. So finding a new hobby. First off, people are going to go, why is a hobby important? Right. I don't have enough time. Why the hell is a hobby important? And I thought this was interesting. A research team from the University of Pittsburgh and Texas, they published this research that they did, and they developed a scale called the Pittsburgh Enjoyable Activities Test to measure the effectiveness of hobbies and leisure on overall health. Here's what they found. People who score higher on enjoyable activities have lower body mass, smaller waists, hello, lower blood pressure, lower stress hormones, and overall better physical function. So, I mean, come on. Yeah, lower waist size just because you find something that you enjoy. Also, more sleep. You sleep better. Happiness. People say you have more friends if you are involving yourself in your own hobbies because it gives you something to talk about when you're with people. It improves work performance. Thank you very much. A study from San Francisco State University found that people who do have hobbies actually perform better at work. And the thing that I think is interesting is when you're picking a hobby, find one that makes you happy, that you enjoy doing, and overall, it will just improve your work. Don't be choosing a hobby to be better at work. Which brings me to hobbies versus interests. Okay, so a lot of people are like, oh, a hobby is something that I'm interested in. No. I thought this was interesting. An interest is a desire to learn about something. A hobby is physically doing something. So a hobby is actually involving yourself in something. An interest is just learning about it. Exactly. Jen's hobby, swimming.
Yes, please.
I started to think to myself, I was like, well, what is my hobby? What? Plants. Plants. I didn't even mean for it. But during the pandemic, my life became plants. And now I have plant babies all over my house. And I was like, oh my God, I found a hobby without even realizing I found a hobby. So that was very exciting. So that's the difference. Hobby, physically doing something, interest, learning about something. People will say they don't have the time. Now, I understand we're all leading busy lives. When you're thinking about a hobby, here's what I want you to do. Don't think on a daily basis. Don't go, oh my God, how am I going to fit this into my daily? No. Think about your whole week. If you only have like an hour once a week to do your hobby, that's fine. Think of your life in terms of weeks, not in terms of days. Sometimes we get overwhelmed when we think about, do I have time to do this every day? No, nobody has time to do everything every day. We hardly have enough time to brush our teeth every day. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Think in terms of the whole week. Do I have 30 minutes? Do I have an hour? Yes, you do. And I'll tell you what, people think they don't have time. But you know what? How often are you scrolling through your phone? I am telling you, the amount of times you're probably scrolling on your phone is over 5 hours a week. All you got to do is put that phone down for like an hour a week and get yourself into something else. I'm telling you, overall, again, just a very nice thing. So how to find a hobby? This is what I thought was interesting because you're like, well, where do I start? All right. What's your goal for the hobby? And I know I'm taking the fun out of it saying, what's your goal? But like, do you want to find a hobby to relax? Do you want to find a hobby to keep fit? Do you want to find a hobby that teaches you a bit of a skill? Do you want to find a hobby for escapism? What's your goal of the hobby? Why do you want a hobby? That will kind of help you to figure out what you want to do. Go hobby hunting with a friend, maybe, right? Get together with somebody. Go walk around a craft store. Maureen, I know you, knitting. You love going in, looking at yarn, looking at wool, finding someone else to do this with, a very nice social activity. Also, walking around that craft store, I bet you you've been inspired again. Didn't you start crocheting as well at one point?
No, I tried a little bit of crocheting, but it's easier to knit for me.
You, knitting was your thing.
Chloe tried to crochet, didn't she? Chloe did crochet.
Yeah, Chloe tried to crochet and she very quickly gave it up because it was so hard. I think she will try again, to be fair.
It's okay, though. You know what? I want to encourage people. If you try something and it's not for you, abandon it. It's fine. You have not failed. If time isn't flying by naturally, that's not the hobby for you, okay? So don't be afraid to try things. If it doesn't work out, you've spent a bit of money on yarn that you're not going to use. Not the end of the world. Think about your childhood. This is a big thing I think people forget about. What did you do as a kid? What were the things you liked to do? Were you a drawer? Did you ride your bike? Did you play with Barbie? What was it you did? If you think back to your childhood, obviously a lot of the things we do instinctively when we're kids, that's a love that we have. So go back to your childhood. How do you like to spend your time? Are you a cook? Well, if you like to cook, I'm not saying cooking should be your hobby. Do a side thing. Maybe you want to start to collect interesting serving dishes or antique things, something that branches off of something that you already enjoy, but is not just that, something else that takes you away from that thing. That's a good one. Family pet, if you got a pet, maybe something around the pet. If you have kids, something around the kids. There was one mom I noticed she started doing t-shirts for her kids' teams, and everyone liked the t-shirts so much that they were like, oh my God, these are great t-shirts. She now has a t-shirt company that she's like, it just started as a hobby. I started doing it because my kids' teams needed t-shirts. Then people said, boom, now she's got a business from this thing that she thought was going to be a hobby. So you never know. Look at what your life already kind of has, and maybe there's a little bit of a hobby off of that. Can exercise be a hobby? Sure it can. But again, I want you to find a side thing, right? I don't want it just to be like with swimming, Jen. I bet you found a lot of things like looking into swimming. You have to buy apparel now for swimming, right? You need like socks, right? For the rocks on the shore. These things can come and be exciting at that point. You're like, ooh, maybe I'll look for this antique thing or I'll buy a new swim towel. Oh, what are the coats everyone was buying? What are they called? The wet?
They're dry robes. They're dry robes.
Dry robes, the exact opposite of what I said. Dry robes. you know, there's a lot of things you can think about in terms of that. Meditation wasn't one I wanted to throw out there. I know it seems like work, but sometimes meditation is really good for everyone. Try a hobby that is the opposite of what you think you'd like. You never know. Give something a try. Painting? Give it a fucking go. Who knows? Maybe you like painting. If you don't, that's all right. Maybe you'll find something else based around painting. Notice what you like to buy as a guilty pleasure. Maybe guilty pleasures are the inspiration for your hobby. Who knows? That's one thing. Look for a hobby that also makes you confident. That you find something, you go, like, I know, Maureen, your knitting is exceptional. When you started, I couldn't believe how quickly, honestly, you're like, it's so perfect. Even out of the gate, your knitting was like so bang on. Every time I saw one of your sweaters, I was like, holy shit, look at that. You have to admit, you had pride in those sweaters. You wore them right away.
Yeah, and it was really funny because most people are really shocked because it's, you know, they're really well knitted.
Yeah.
because you wouldn't expect that from me, to be honest. You'd expect
There's an attention to detail there that no one is expecting, Maureen.
Yeah, I don't normally have attention to detail.
And time flies by when you're knitting too. You enjoy that.
And it is kind of meditative in the meditation wise.
That's it.
You have to count every single stitch and then do this and do that and check the different rows. And it is actually very mathematical. And I found it when I was very stressed at the time. It was a way of me relaxing, to be honest, because I wasn't thinking for once about my housing.
Absolutely. They call that flow state. You found your flow state. You were in something that time went quickly. It didn't feel like it was a burden. That's what they say. So ideally, your hobby should be a flow state, something for you that time flies by, you get rejuvenated by it. That's when you know, bang, I've got my hobby. I got to tell you, taking care of my plants, I love it so much. I know it's ridiculous, but 2 hours can go by and I'm still wiping leaves and I'm like, I love you so much, my rubber tree. Which, by the way, do you remember I got that rubber plant from when I went to Brighton and did that fundraiser, Jen, years ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had 3 leaves. Now it's 20 leaves tall. My baby has grown so much. But that's just me. Also, hey, it may take a while to find the right hobby, everyone. Like I said, experiment. Take some chances, do something different. Maybe looking for a hobby is your hobby for the first little while. Who knows, right? Maybe that's it. You're like, I'm on a hobby search. This is my hobby. It's very, very important that you just know that it may not come right away, but there is a hobby out there for you. Overall, mentally, physically, I just think having something that makes the time pass, that you enjoy, that you don't feel pressure about learning or doing, can benefit you immensely. So I encourage you all, look for a hobby, enjoy the process. I'm telling you, there will only be benefits from a hobby. That is my advice for everyone.
Brilliant. Thank you, Alison. That is very good advice. I think the whole, basically, just to go on from what Maureen was saying as well, is that often with a hobby, the reason why you enjoy it, and you mentioned meditation in there, and people might eye roll at meditation, but if you have a hobby that you really enjoy, I think what it does, what it gives you that we don't have a lot of the time, is it pulls you into the present, and you're present in the thing that you're doing in that moment. And there's something healthy mentally about doing that. So it doesn't matter if it's physical exercise or if it's knitting or if it's gardening or whatever it is that you enjoy doing. If it's that one thing that takes you out of, because we're constantly we don't live our lives in the present. We live our lives almost in the future, don't we? Oh, I've got to go and do this, or I must do that. I have to make sure that this is done by that time. That we forget that just to be present in where we are, who we are in this moment. And meditation is actually very healthy, and it's important to do something that is meditative, even if you think meditation is a pile of old crap, which it absolutely isn't, and it can really be life-changing. But whether it be knitting or polishing your plant's leaves, or for me being in the sea, I am very present. I'm not thinking about anything in the future. I'm thinking about being in the water and what I need to do next in order to, where am I going? Am I going to here? Then I'll swim to here, and then I'll swim back, whatever it is. And I think that that is the thing that hobbies will give you, if you can find one that you enjoy.
And it's so important, especially as we get older, because we lose, and I mean, this is just a fact, we lose serotonin the older we get. We lose dopamine, those chemicals that we need to make us happy. And I see it with my parents, and I wish that they had more interests of things they like to do.
My dad is the exact opposite. My dad is 80, well, he's 86, I think now, but he looks a lot younger. And my dad is always doing stuff. He's got his bowls. He's at the bowls. He's got his garden. He's always making stuff. You know, he made cupboards for the bowling club. He's made a shed out of God knows what once, out of something else. And he's always doing stuff. And I think that is the reason that, you know, if you're 86 and you're just sitting in your armchair, I know some people have health issues and they're limited, but if you're sitting in an armchair all day watching TV, as opposed to my father, who is always doing something, always active. And I think that does make a difference, big difference.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I see it with them. So that was the other thing. When someone wrote in, I need a hobby, I was like, oh my God, my parents need bloody hobbies other than just gambling. And anyway, so get a hobby, everyone. Yeah.
Parents are hard. It's very hard to encourage parents to do anything that they don't want to do, because they're at that age where they're like, no. This is who I am.
You will not tell me.
This is who I am, and I'm afraid you just have to manage this person until I die. And you're like, wow, okay, great.
Yeah,
good times.
There we go. Yeah.
Alison, thank you very much for your advices. As always, they've been enlightening and positive, which is something, for fuck's sake, we all need.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Maureen, you look surprised that you're here.
I've just woken up.
And yet she still has applied mascara and lipstick. I just want to point
out. It's called being professional, Alison.
Hey, let's think about it. We haven't been around for a while, so we've all been watching and listening and learning and doing. What have we all been watching, listening and learning and doing?
Right, on TV, there's two films I want to recommend.
Oh, two.
Belle de Jour, which is a brilliant French movie starring the amazing Daniel Auteuil. He's worth watching anything he's in. And it's about a guy, I can't believe Daniel Auteuil, he's playing a guy in his 70s now, who's in an unhappy marriage, gets kicked out by his wife. And then his a friend of the family, a friend of his son, has this company where you can choose a day in your life that you want to go back to. And they actually reenact it. So you go back and they've got a set and they reenact this day in your life that you were really, really happy. And he chooses a time in the 70s when he was in his 20s and it was the day he met his wife. And they reenact that whole scenario. And as somebody who's of a certain age, you kind of go, oh, I can see that. Obviously, for me, it'd be Vienna in the 1984. But I can see the appeal of going back to your youth and just reliving when you were very young and happy. And obviously, you didn't appreciate it at the time. And so this is what happens in the film. He reenacts. He goes back to his youth. So you've got this whole thing. There's like two old guys in their 70s, but they've been treated as like young men, you know. It's very funny, very amusing. Definitely recommend it. It's on iPlayer at the moment, if you live in Britain. Another one is Their Finest, which is also on iPlayer at the moment, which is on BBC. A very good film set in the Second World War. It's got Gemma Arterton, and she plays a scriptwriter writing the slops, which is what they called women's dialogue in those days.
Writing
the slops, because obviously all the men have gone off to fight, and she's got to make a propaganda film. It's got Bill Nighy as this aged actor who still.
Of course, it's got Bill Nighy.
Yes, obviously.
If it has Bill Nighy in. Maureen's watched it.
I'm watching it. And he's this aged actor who still thinks he should be playing the lead. Helen McCrory as his agent. It's a very good film. Very funny, very amusing. All about how they made the propaganda films in the war. And then the ending, I won't spoil it, is really unexpected. It goes in a way that you don't expect it to go. But I would watch it. It's a very good film. It's got Bill Nighy in it, for God's sake. Watch it for that.
Yeah, I know. We all love Bill Nighy. So did you say that was
BBC?
Okay, great.
And obviously it's on streaming channels every now and then. And then I watched the one episode, so that shows you how much I enjoyed it, Ridley, which is the new police drama starring Adrian Dunbar.
Oh, I like Adrian Dunbar. You like Adrian Dunbar,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I do. But it's like he's a cop who's been, his family have got murdered, so he's no longer a cop, but then he gets called in to help.
I feel like we've seen this before.
You know what I mean? And then he sings a song at the end. I think of every end of the episode, he's also got some jazz bar where he sings a song at the end.
Okay. I mean, I'm not
sold.
I'm not sold, but I'm not sold. I mean, I'd be open. Are you saying no?
I only watched the one episode. I mean, I'd probably watch it again if it came on, but I wouldn't actively go and look for it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It didn't grip me as...
Okay.
All right. More some great suggestions. And that is on ITV, is it? I
yeah.
Assume. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I've obviously watched a lot of television since we were last on podcasting. But there was a particular miniseries that I watched with Chloe and that we really enjoyed, which we didn't watch when it first came out. We watched in the summer, and it's called Made, and it's on Netflix. I'm sure many people listening to this podcast will have already watched it. But if you haven't, it's an American limited series drama on Netflix, and it's based on a memoir by Stephanie Land called Made: Hard Work, Low Pay and a Mother's Will to Survive. And it's looking at a young woman. She's like, oh my gosh, like early 20s, who is in an abusive relationship with a guy who it's sort of coercive emotional abuse, but they have a young daughter. And it's about her leaving him and then trying to create a life for herself and her daughter, and how impossible it's made by the welfare system that exists in the States, and often now is beginning to mirror what we have now in the UK, thanks to years of austerity and neoliberalism and trying to shrink the state.
Don't go there, Jen.
Don't go. Yeah, you're right, Maureen. But this is a very well written and beautifully acted. It has... When I watched it, I didn't realise the casting situation. The young girl, the young woman, her mum is played by Andy McDowell, who has quite severe bipolar and unmedicated. She won't take medication. So it's sort of undiagnosed, unmedicated. So she's having manic episodes. She's kind of all over the place. And the young woman, I mean, the casting is incredible, because this young woman looks like her daughter. Anyway, it is her daughter. So I found that out afterwards. She becomes a maid in order to try to get an income so that she can look after her daughter, basically. And also she wants to go to college. She missed out on her opportunity to go to college because she got pregnant and she didn't have an abortion. She kept the baby. And now she's missed out on this scholarship and she's trying to get back in and get this scholarship so she can go back. It is a hard watch because she has so many struggles and so many tribulations, as you imagine you would if you were trying to work within a state that punishes you for being poor. But it's not mawkish. It's not sentimental. It's just very... this is how it is, and this is what happens when you're trying to work within the system, and the odds are stacked against you, and good fucking luck. And sometimes she gets a bit of good luck and things go her way, but more often than not, things don't go her way. But it's a story of survival, and it's a story of a woman doing what's best for her daughter. And it's so good. It's so well done. I mean, at times it's not necessarily the easiest watch, but spoiler... it's not, just in case people are like, oh God, I don't think I could manage that. It's not a bad ending. The ending is good. It's not like, what? You know, they all lived happily ever after, but it's like, oh yeah, there's something positive happening here at the end. So I would really recommend that. I think it's 10 episodes. It might be 12, actually. It's a mini series, so it's a one-off. And the acting in it is just outstanding from everybody in it, particularly the young woman who plays and is Andy McDowell's daughter, whose name I have now forgotten. That's great, isn't it? I always do that, don't I? Just give you half the information. You're welcome.
It's good to be consistent, Jen.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think her name is Margaret Qualley. That's her name. Sarah Margaret Qualley is the young woman. And I can highly recommend it. Alison, what is happening in the world of horror?
All right, in my world of trash horror... First off, I want to give a shout out. I watched a horrible one last night called Who's Killing the Cheerleaders? Loved every second of it, everyone.
Wow.
It was a made-for-TV here in Canada. Who Killed the Cheerleaders? Spectacular, everyone. It was one of the worst things I've ever watched. I watched every second of it. And Teddy and I were like, this is just so bad. It's amazing. So Who Killed the Cheerleaders? Not the movie I want to recommend. Just a side note. The movie that I chose to go along with the problem of the idea of hobbies is a movie called Fright Night. Now, there was one released in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's got all those weird puppets. Like, yes. Like, well, they're not puppets, are they? But they look like, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, but they redid it. And I like the 2011 version better because it's more of like a teeny horror flick. So basically, a teenager suspects his new neighbor is a vampire. as you often do. Yeah. Can't even tell you the number of times I've been like, that fucker's a nightmare. Yeah. Vampire. Unable to convince anyone, he tries to enlist the help of a self-proclaimed vampire hunter and a magician in the remake of this 1985 comedy horror classic. Why did I choose it? Because the boys in this movie, their hobby is horror movies, and that's how they were able to identify that their neighbor was a vampire. So I'm just saying, guys, hobbies can come in handy when you're not expecting it. So that's my pick, Fright Night, Prime Video. It has McLovin in it, everyone, which I just love that character. It's a very funny, not like a gory, scary. It's one of those teeny horror flicks.
Yeah, I hear you.
Love it. Fright Night.
I remember my brothers watched the original and I was too scared to watch it. So I didn't. I remember they brought it back, the video, and I saw the cover and I was like, no, absolutely not going to watch that. but yeah, they loved it. That's really funny. You'll love it. And I never watched it, but I'm aware of its existence. And yeah.
You perked up when I said it. You're like, yes, I am aware of Fright Night. I love that you remembered the video cover.
I know. It's one of those things, isn't it? Because do you remember when you used to go to your local video store and you just see all the covers of all of the...
Yeah.
Which now, when you go and watch whatever you're getting on Netflix, or it picks a scene for you from the movie, doesn't it? So it's like, we think you'll be attracted to this. The algorithm says you like this character in it. So you don't ever see the cover of the movie, do you? Yeah. You just like... It's not like the old days when we all knew the covers of every film, didn't we? Because you'd have film posters on your wall sometimes when you were a kid. Do you remember that? Is that just me?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Walking around the Blockbuster just for hours, just looking. Oh God, I loved a video store.
Nicking the posters from Blockbuster. But... Yeah, you very carefully just take a little bit of the blue tack off until it falls off, and you're like, scroll it up under your jumper.
Posters from a movie?
Absolutely never did, but
you heard about it.
I heard that this was something that people did. And I, for one, was very against it. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. And from teen trash, we have to head over to a corner that has been cultured deliberately by Maureen Younger, using her very own homemade cultures. Oh, Maureen, it's cultural corner time. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, that was a beautiful introduction. Thank you for that. Just get some more homegrown culture out. Right. Anyway, obviously we spend too much time with each other. Anyway, as you know, this October, if you're listening when this comes out, it's 100 years since the BBC was founded. So I'm looking at BBC drama.
Okay. Oh, brilliant. Oh, yeah. Wow. That is...
100 years.
100 years.
Right. I don't even know where you begin.
BBC drama. So this is a TV drama. So I'm going to start off with, I don't know if you've heard of this, Alison. I'm sure Jen has. This Life.
No.
Oh, my God. Of course I've heard of it. It's an absolute classic.
Have you not? Oh, Alison, you'd love it. It's on iPlayer for the next couple of months. It was a serious broadcast in the 90s. I think originally it was on BBC Two. Word of mouth was so much, it became a massive, massive hit. It was
unexpected. It was like a 20-somethings having a house share.
Lawyers, undergraduates, legal.
They were all lawyers, sorry, yeah.
And they're having a house share in South London. It does feature, I've got to warn you, Alison, does feature casual sex and drugs, so you might not want to watch it, and I've told you that.
It's not really my thing, right?
Even gay, there was a gay relationship.
Yeah, there was a gay man
that?
In there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And we were all like, what?
What? It was very kind of realistic in a way that was unusual. I got great characters. You got the guy from The Walking Dead, Andrew... Lincoln. He played Egg and his girlfriend, Jack Davenport. I've forgotten the Scottish actress's name. She was great in it.
Oh, she was brilliant in it. Yeah, was it Anna? No.
That was her character's name. Nardelli or something. Because her family run a really great ice cream shop.
Daniela Nardini.
They've got a really great ice cream shop, which I've tried. And it was included on BFI's list of the 100 greatest British television programmes of all time. Alison, I think you would really like it. It's a really good series.
This is Life.
This Life.
This Life, okay.
Had Tanita Tikaram's brother in it. Do you remember? He played the love interest.
It was really... And this was at the time of Cool Britannia, so it kind of all fitted in with that. Kind of period, and which seems years ago now. But yeah, I definitely recommend that. This is now the next one I haven't seen, but I've been told it's brilliant. I think Jen might have seen it. Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I feel like I'm familiar with this. Tell me the what's the breakdown?
It's written by Jed Mercurio, who of course is the guy behind Line of Duty.
It's set in a hospital. Yeah.
The main character is a specialist registrar called Rob Lake, who starts work in the obstetrics and gynecology department. But it's different from your normal hospital drama like Holby City or Casualty. Apparently there's graphical surgical scenes, which slightly puts me off.
And they did this thing with the camera, Maureen, where they it's just one of the first times you saw it like a handheld camera.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of like to make you feel like you as a person were there. So when they would have like somebody was called into the emergency room and they were like, right, get them. And they were like panicking and trying to get all the stuff. The camera was right there. So the camera's moving really quickly and shaking. And I mean, if you watch it now, you're like, oh, can somebody hold that camera still? Jesus, I feel like I'm going to have a stroke. It's a bit much, but it was the first time, well, certainly in this country, that we had seen that sort of direction where it kept cutting and moving. And
yeah, and I think it dealt with very dark themes. The Times ranked it as ninth place in its list of shows of the decade, and The Guardian ranked Bodies number 20 of the greatest television dramas of all time.
It was huge at the time, wasn't it? Like, yeah, I remember watching it. It was huge.
Yeah, and I think it was written by Jed Mercurio. That's always a good sign. Now, this one, I've watched part of it. I haven't watched every series, but when I started watching it, I thought it was brilliant. I think Jen's watched it as well. Last Tango in Halifax.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It starts brilliantly, but it does go downhill.
Well, just watch the early ones then. It's got a fantastic cast. I mean, the actors alone were worth watching. Anne Reed, Derek Jacobi, Sarah Lancashire, Nicola Walker. I mean, you can't go wrong with them. And what is great is like two of the main characters, like the older characters, so Anne Reed and Derek Jacobi, which is unusual in TV because TV is so ageism. Older characters are usually on the sidelines. They're like there for comedy effect, or do you know what I mean? And they're never the main characters. And basically their characters, Celia and Alan, are both widowed. They were attracted to each other when they were young. They meet again, and then their burgeoning romance plays against the lives of their daughters. And both daughters, of course, are very different from each other. Alan's daughter, Gillian, played by Nicola Walker, is widowed and runs a farm, while Caroline is Oxford educated and the principal of an educated school.
It's a private school, isn't it?
Private school, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's how their romance affects everybody. Perhaps I never got to the last bit, but I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. But I think by the time it got to sort of near the end, I felt like it kind of ran out of steam and it sort of got a bit crazy. It sometimes does that. A really good drama starts very naturalistically and you're like, ooh, I'm on board. And then it like, what?
It's really hard. It's always something like if you watch Frasier, I've been watching a lot of Frasier on YouTube, you just appreciate how good the writing is because that was constantly good throughout the whole run. For, I think,
just
11
just
years.
Don't pay attention to Daphne's accent or any of the other British accents that come to the show
because you're like, accent,
he is not from Manchester.
No, definitely not.
I love that she was from Manchester, but her brother had this Cockney accent.
Yeah.
Oh, how's it going, Governor?
Played by an Australian.
Played by an Australian, yeah. It's like, guys, wait. Try to get some uniformity in where you're supposed to be from.
In America, they don't care. Right, and then another great series was Life on Mars.
I never saw it.
Well, you can't currently see it on iPlayer, but you can see it on streaming. I thought it was brilliant. It's a British television series from the mid-noughties. It's a Manchester police officer from 2006, played by John Sim, who's a fantastic actor, finds himself working as a police officer in the 1970s Manchester following a serious car accident. So it combines science fiction, time travel, period drama and police procedural drama. And I love it because you see the difference between policing the 70s and policing now. So at one point, they're trying to find some suspects and he knocks on the door and says to this woman, we're looking for, I think, an IC female. And she's like, what? And the, you know, the 70s cop goes, we're looking for a mouthy slag. I went, oh, yeah, you mean she lives down the road. You know, and I think in a way you kind of, you like the idea that actually it's not so PC and not so woke as it is now. But on the other hand, you see the disadvantages, in fact, because it's, there's a lot of racism and sexism.
Oh, I love that, because it shows it side by side.
Shows the two sides.
Ooh. No racism or sexism now, Maureen. It's the police have really managed to knock that out of the force.
But I think compared to what, the 70s,
where it
was overt, where it's completely overt, you know, I think it's really well done. And the tram travel does make sense. You know, you don't think it's a bit unbelievable. You kind of get the reason why, because you're not sure whether he's just dreaming this because he's in a coma or whether he's really, he's really gone into the 1970s. But it's a really, really good series. I totally recommend it. And the last one, something different, Spiral, which is, I think I've mentioned before, French police TV series and legal drama following the work and the private lives of Paris police officers and the lawyers and judges at the Palais de Justice. It's hard-hitting, it's realistic, it shows the underbelly of prison life. It's definitely not an ad for Paris tourism.
Is that a BBC drama, Maureen?
Yeah, it's on the BBC, yeah.
But it's not a BBC drama, it's
yeah,
just on
Yeah, but it's on the BBC.
Oh, OK. Fine.
So, you know, you can see it on iPlayer. And I think it might have been part sponsored by the BBC as well, because it's an international co-production. So...
just for the listeners, Maureen just flipped me the bird.
The right up middle finger.
Right up the middle finger there.
Anyway, as I always say, I was really interrupted. Even though it's in French, and I technically speak French, I don't understand half the things they say because it's very fast. It's very, a lot of slang. The lead cop is played by Caroline Proust. Her character is Laure Bertheau, and she's a fantastic character. In fact, all the characters in this are brilliantly defined. It's great writing, and each series deals with a different crime. And besides the police, you also see the lawyers and the judges, because the French legal system is very different from the British one. And so you have the investigating magistrate judge, François Robin, very great character. You have a kick-ass female lawyer called Josephine Carlson. She's played by Audrey Fleurot. And you have assistant prosecutor Pierre Clément, played by Gregory Fitoussi, who's worth watching. He's very easy on the eye. I know that sounds sexist, but it's true.
I waited. I was like, when's she going to comment about a hot guy in one of these?
It's Gregory Fitoussi. Yeah. He's
well,
very hot.
That's great. You can watch that. That's all on iPlayer. You can watch all of Spiral on iPlayer. It's
brilliant.
A French show, but the BBC have managed to attach themselves to it in some peripheral way. Thank you very much, Maureen, for your BBC recommendations. There's loads to... There's zillions, isn't there, programmes?
Oh, there's loads
but those,
on iPlayer.
But all of those are fantastic
100
recommends.
Years. I can't believe that.
Yep.
Wow.
Brilliant recommendations, Maureen. Thank you very much for your cultural corner.
We've learned, we've loved, we've grown. And now we just want to get angry. So, Jen, what the hell's been getting your goat lately?
I don't want to lose my shit over... Okay, this is it. Right, Jen's goat is happening now. I cannot handle this! Well, I'm just going to keep it light because there's so much absolutely atrocious stuff happening that we can't even keep up with it, can we? It's actually impossible to keep up with what is happening in this country that is currently being governed by absolute spoons. So we're not going to talk about that. I did talk about this with Maureen at the time and it happened a few weeks ago and I don't even know, but it's still, I was like, I'm not going to talk about it because it happened ages ago and let it go. But unfortunately, I can't let it go. It's still annoying me. So I'm going to tell you about it, and then you can tell me if I've overreacted. Okay, bearing in mind that this is not a recent thing. Okay, so it is during, and don't anyone get upset because I'm not going to be slagging any the Queen off or anything. But it was just after the Queen died, in that mourning period that we were having. And I met with a couple of friends who I haven't seen for actually decades. And we met in a pub in Victoria, sort of like a reunion. Okay, aww. So this pub in Victoria was probably a weird choice in some ways. But anyway, there we all were. And of course, where we are in Victoria, I suppose it's quite close to St. James's Park. It's quite close to where people were going to visit the Queen in, you know, and pay their respects, yada, 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 all that shebang. So that is all happening in the background. But we are in a pub. And it's, I suppose it's a relatively busy outside of the pub because it's a nice summer's evening or early autumn evening. Upstairs, it's dead. There's like nobody there. And that's where we find ourselves because we're having what Maureen would enjoy as in a proper pub beige dinner. Okay. So
chips. There's chips on every plate.
Yes, just basically chips. So we've ordered our food and then we said to each other, well, let's have, you know, what does everyone want? And we're like, oh, let's get a bottle of wine. Let's get a bottle of wine. Let's get a bottle of wine. So we order a bottle of wine. Absolutely no problems there. And then they produce three plastic cups. And I said, oh, we're not going outside. So we're going to eat up here. So could we get glasses? There's loads of glasses everywhere. And he said, oh, no. He said, he's a young guy. He muttered something like, because of the Queen. I said, because of the Queen. He said, oh, yeah, we're just having plastic cups. I said, what? Why are we having plastic cups? Because of the Queen. And he went, it's just a thing that we're just having plastic cups because of the Queen. I said, so out of respect for the Queen, who has died, we are all drinking out of plastic cups inside a pub. I said, I'll tell you what, nothing's going to happen to this glass because I'm in my mid-40s and I have been drinking out of glass for quite some time. I'm actually quite au fait with it. It's something I'm actually pretty good at. What I do is I lift the glass to my mouth and I drink. Anyway, this guy's like, it's not his fault. He's like 12. I don't even know what he's doing in a pub, actually. I was like, why aren't you at school? Anyway, he was like, no, it's just a thing. I said, it's an absolutely fucking mental thing to say to me that I cannot have a glass. I said, we're going to drink the glass, then you're going to put it in a dishwasher and wash it. And he goes, there's nothing I can do. It's a pub policy. Anyway, so we sit down with our bottle of wine and plastic cups. And I was like, still wanging on about this ages afterwards, going, I can't believe we're going to have to drink out of plastic cups. This is crazy. So one of my mates, Sonia, says, why don't we just nick three glasses? So my other friend, Alia, who is at the bar, is looking. And we're like saying to her, nick the glasses. She's like, oh, fuck it. So she takes three glasses, okay, because we're and brings it over to the where we have our bottle of wine. And we're about to pour the wine into the glasses because we're grown-ups. And this other 11-year-old comes over and goes, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to, you can't use glasses. And I said to them, I want to know the logic behind you saying that we have to drink plastic cups. We're inside. And he said, I said, it's because of the Queen. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I said to her, this isn't what the Queen would have wanted. She wouldn't have wanted three middle-aged women to drink out of plastic cups on, you know, several days after her death. She would have been like, please give these women glasses. They deserve it. They deserve glass. They deserve to drink out of glass. I don't know. It takes the enjoyment out of drinking wine when you feel like you're, I could be outside some bins or something. I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, that really got my goat and I haven't let it go. And it's still to this day, we never managed to get a reason why we had to drink out of plastic cups. It was absolutely bonkers. And I said, tomorrow, are you drinking out of plastic cups? And they were like, I think so. Yeah, we're drinking out of plastic cups. I mean, I was like, I said, I won't be coming back to this pub, mostly because it's in Victoria. And why would I go there? That's weird. But also because of the plastic cup thing. So that's what got my goat. I mean, it's not, I suppose, saying it out loud, it seems a lot less annoying. But
do you know what it is? I bet you they're just like trying to save on energy running their dishwasher. I bet you they're not, they're trying to avoid, like, I literally think they're just going to throw the plastic cups away afterwards.
So of course they go. They're not going to recycle the plastic cups.
Yeah.
No. I should have said to them, have you thought about the ocean? Are we thinking about the environment here? That every single person has to have a disposable cup? I mean, that's absolutely bonkers. When you have glass, which you can then wash.
Maybe their dishwasher was broken.
Their dishwasher wasn't broken because I saw them washing glasses. I said, who was drinking out those glasses? And they were like, oh, that was from yesterday. I went, from yesterday? And I believe you.
I love that it's because of the Queen.
It just kept saying because of the Queen. It's because of the Queen. And I was like, you need to find out why. And I said, I can't be the only person that's asking you about this plastic cup situation. Everybody else was drinking out of plastic cups. They seemed happy. I couldn't get my head around it. I was like, I wanted to go around to people and go, are you happy about the plastic cup situation? As an adult, and we're inside, bearing in mind, we could have had glass. Have you seen the amount of glasses they've got back there? They've got enough for all of us. No one, everybody else was quite happy drinking out of plastic. No one seemed at all perturbed by this whole situation. But myself, and not just me, my two friends, we were all in a state of we were annoyed. So,
yes.
Anyway, that's what's got my goat.
Plastic cups. Well, I don't blame you. Wine is supposed to be drank in a wine glass. There's a reason why there's a wine glass.
Yeah, I know.
It ruins the flavour. I'm with you, Jen.
I know. I don't want to drink anything out of a plastic cup. And also, there's something about having wine in a plastic cup. It just kind of looks like a urine sample. Do you know what I mean? This is white wine, by the way, just in case you're thinking, God, there's something gone horribly wrong.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?
Selling a little? or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.